Many people tune into the Super Bowl just to watch those commercials. $7 million for 30 seconds this year, according to NBC. But this year, even more of those advertisements will be for gambling, sports gambling to be specific. Betting on the Super Bowl or any sport is now legal in over half of all U.S. states, including Wisconsin. But right now, it's only offered at one Oneida Casino in Green Bay. It's become a multi-billion dollar industry in no time, generating significant tax revenues where it's legal and also raising concerns about the harmful side of gambling addiction. We're learning more about what legal sports gambling is doing to us, and we want to hear from you and what you think at 1-800-642-1234. You gamble on sports? You win, you lose? Have you placed any bets on the Super Bowl this year? Rams are 4-point favorites, I believe, for Sunday. Do you plan to? Is it fun for you? Or do you see any problems with it? Call us, 1-800-642-1234, and join our conversation. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can always post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email us ideas@wpr.org. Les Burnell is the national director of the nonprofit group Stop Predatory Gambling. Les, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me today.
Let's start with just some sense of how massive this sports betting industry has become and how quickly it's gotten there.
Yeah, it's spread now to more than 30 states in just a kind of at light speed. Every state government has no understanding of what they're legalizing here, because the end game isn't really just commercialized sports gambling. Commercialized sports gambling is just really a tool to get citizens to sign up online. What the end game here is to open up really online casino gambling into every home, every dorm room, every smartphone in a community. You know, so it's like, you know, having Las Vegas right in your bedroom. And particularly if you have kids, you know, right on their tablets and their computers. Because they're going to be the demographic most affected by this massive expansion of predatory gambling.
So you see it as the pathway towards a casino in every home, but what built that pathway? How is this possible?
Yeah, so, you know, and it's important for your listeners to understand that there was no grassroots movement for commercialized sports gambling in the United States, in Wisconsin or in any other state. This was driven by very powerful financial interests, billion-dollar financial interests, some professional sports team owners who are also billionaires, and you had public officials who were looking for more and more money to raise for public services without having to raise taxes on middle income and upper income folks. And so the ultimate kind of way we've raised revenue over the last 30 years in most states, including in Wisconsin, what we continue to turn to are these more and more extreme forms of commercialized gambling. And I think it's important for your listeners to understand, like, when we say commercialized gambling, we're talking about when you're running gambling as a business, right? So if you and I had a friendly wager on the Super Bowl, right, we had a $20 wager, or we go golfing and, you know, we have a friendly wager on the 18th hole, those types of things. You have an office Super Bowl pool. Like, those are social gambling. You know, predatory gambling is when you're running gambling as a business. And the reason why it's been illegal and for most of American history is because at its core, it's a form of financial fraud. It's a big con. And that's what separates it from other vices, even like tobacco and alcohol. It's a financial exchange that is literally mathematically stacked against you. It's like price gouging and false advertising, both of which are illegal in Wisconsin and in most states. So you have these very powerful financial interests that stand to make billions of dollars by encouraging citizens to sign up and place wagers on sporting events relentlessly, as if you're not a sports fan anymore in Wisconsin or any other state if you don't have money on the game.
Les Burnell, our guest, the national director of the not-for-profit Stop Predatory Gambling, as you are certain to see gambling ads during the Super Bowl on Sunday, and would be interested in knowing what you think as sports gambling has taken off. At 1-800-642-1234 to join our conversation with our guest. Let's go to Pat in Three Lakes this afternoon. Pat, good afternoon. You're on Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I think sports gambling is a... It's first of all, it's addictive. Secondly, it destroys people. It destroys families. It's something that shouldn't be allowed. People can't even sit down on a Sunday afternoon and watch a football game without having a stake in it. And most of the time, stake is going to be a losing stake. And the problem with it is that you get, once you start to lose, you lose more and more and more because you'll never gain it back.
Pat, how do you know about the effects of gambling?
I know about it because I'm kind of a gambler. I go to Las Vegas occasionally, and I gamble. I play things that I can afford. I know how to gamble, but I do know that even Las Vegas is addictive. But at least you have to get into an airplane and fly to Las Vegas and go and play. Go to an Indian casino, it's the same thing. You have to make the effort to go in there. But when you can pick up your phone or your internet and make a bet on a football game and bet on just about anything you want to bet on, you're going to lose.
Pat, I appreciate the perspective. Addictive, destructive, and yet the question about whether or not prohibition is effective. Les?
So I think the word you use for prohibition, respectfully, is the wrong word.
Okay.
We've already been able to place sports bets amongst each other for 100 years. Like, it's not illegal for you and I to place a wager with one another. What's illegal is to run commercialized gambling as a business, okay? To do it as a business. Because it's been illegal for most of U.S. history because it's an inherently a form of consumer financial fraud, like price gouging and false advertising.
But haven't we always seen that, Les, as the house always wins? That's our understanding about gambling going into it?
That's right. And that's right. So the more you, I think Pat said it really eloquently, like, this isn't about whether or not people gamble. If people want to be, you know, reckless with their money or do whatever they want to do, that's up to them. Like, this is a government program in Wisconsin and in most states. Like, this is only legal if you partner with state government. You and I can't go open up our own sports book. You know, it's only legal if you partner with state government and you cut in state government and give them a portion of the profits.
Then, Les, as you see it, and I apologize for cutting in here, but just to be clear, as you see it, is this why some states have been eager to legalize sports betting? Is the bottom line that they see?
The state public, most public officials have become blinded by greed. This is a push by, really, is one word that defines this better than anything else, and that's greed. It's the public official. It's public officials who are acting with greed. You have these billion-dollar gambling corporations who are acting out of greed. You have these, you know, massive media companies who are benefiting immensely by all the advertising, and you have these professional sports team owners who are profiting it as well. But you, the everyday citizen, like, you're suffering from this. If you have kids, like, kids today are growing up thinking that gambling and sports are one and the same. Like, you're not a sport. You know, if you go, we actually had a young man that contacted us. He's a very successful athlete in the Northeast, and all in his locker room, you know, the kids, they're talking about, you know, the latest, you know, music hit or whatever. They're talking about what they're going to place for parlay bets that weekend on sports gambling. Their coach talks about what games he's going to bet on that weekend. I mean, that's a transformative experience for young people today. So that's why in places of the world that have experimented with this, like, it's been a massive failure, particularly like the United Kingdom, where amongst all the major issues that the United Kingdom is dealing with at the moment, you know, Brexit, COVID, so on, the top five issue in the UK today is gambling reform because they have an epidemic of child gambling because of what's happened. Those same companies now are being pushed out of the UK, and they're setting up shop and partnering with U.S. companies like DraftKings and FanDuel and so on.
Les Burnell, our guest, national director of the nonprofit group Stop Predatory Gambling. And we're talking about sports betting this afternoon with the certainty of seeing ads during the Super Bowl on Sunday, inviting you to partake and put your money on the line. Gambling line, that is. So you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Have you gone to Wisconsin's Oneida Casino to gamble on sports? What was that like for you? Do you want to see the state legalize sports betting everywhere across the board? And would you bet on sports if you could do it legally from your home or from anywhere? Join us at 1-800-642-1234. That phone number is 1-800-642-1234. Email open as well this afternoon for you at ideas@wpr.org. Conversation continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and right now we're picking up the conversation about sports betting with Les Burnell, director of the group Stop Predatory Gambling. And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Are you concerned about the influx of sports gambling advertising? Why or why not? And do you think sports betting should be treated differently than regular gambling? Do you think it makes sports more fun, or do you avoid gambling altogether? 1-800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Les Burnell, our guest, and he joins us from Stop Predatory Gambling. And the other aspect that our caller Pat brought up before the break, Les, was that how technology has changed gambling, how it has made the opportunity for an app to put gambling in your pocket at any time and available at any time. How is that changing what we do with how we put our money down?
Yeah. So the way that these commercialized gambling operators make money and in relation to state government, because they're partners in this, is they make money by continually providing more and more access to commercialized gambling with more and more extreme forms of commercialized gambling. So it's you're getting constant access to it, you know, at more and higher price points. And so the technology now allows you, you know, like when we talk about sports gambling, it's not a traditional sports bet like we all think of, like I'll pick the Packers by 3.5 over the Bears in a football game, you know, 3.5 points. Now it's like, is the next play in this game going to be a run or a pass? You know, is Steph Curry going to hit 3 3-pointers in the first quarter of this game? Like, anything you can imagine, they're encouraging you to wager. And so even when it's not a traditional U.S. sporting event, these companies like DraftKings, FanDuel, you know, MGM, like they're encouraging you to bet like on Hungarian basketball, you know, in the middle of the day. And not just on the winner, like is the score going to end is in an even or odd number? So what they're doing is feeding people constant action, you know, getting people, it's, you know, because the pursuit of this, it's just, you know, you kind of have a boring day at work. Yeah. Well, look, I can bet on Hungarian basketball. Like it's, you know, look, constant action. And this is being done in partnership with these billion-dollar gambling corporations with state governments. It's America's biggest, most neglected problem. And the last thing I want to say, just so your listeners have some context for this, well, you're talking state lotteries, brick-and-mortar casinos, and now online gambling, sports gambling. Like commercialized gambling is the public voice of American government today to most citizens. It's what we advertise to the American people, including the citizens of Wisconsin, more than what we advertise anything else. And 2/3 of the public doesn't gamble at all. So like when we talk about inequality, wealth inequality, and you know, we need to raise the minimum wage and tax billionaires and all these other important issues that people are debating, like this is exhibit A. Like, you know, this issue affects all that. Over the next 8 years, the American people are going to lose more than $1 trillion of personal wealth to government-sanctioned gambling. And that's according to The Economist, you know, and from a couple of years ago, we're currently losing $120 billion a year already to commercialized gambling of our personal wealth. It's America's biggest, most neglected problem.
Les Burnell, our guest, National Director of Stop Predatory Gambling, and your calls as we continue at 1-800-642-1234, where Andrew in Minnesota is standing by. Andrew, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon to you both. So, disclaimer, I am in no way advocating that anybody go gamble on account of I'm not about it. I certainly work too hard for my money to give it away to other people, right? Or at least for the sake of trying to increase my wealth. But I heard you say earlier that commercializing or a business, if it's like a private citizen for who's trying to run a gambling operation, you refer to it as like a con and also a fraud. Now, as I understand it, if somebody is going to a bookie and they are placing a bet, they are aware of the odds, even though they are not always, they're always favorable to the house, right? But they're fully aware of that. So I don't understand in what way it is considered a fraud or a con. And I was hoping you could elaborate on that.
Andrew, okay. Thank you. Les?
Yeah. So when whether it's a state lottery, a brick and mortar casino, and now sports gambling, it is absolutely a con. It's not marketed as, no, they don't put, hey, your chances of losing this money is almost 100% certain. Like when you, if you and I were to place a friendly wager with each other, you know, that's one thing. But when you bet against the house, it is absolutely a mathematical certainty that the longer you participate in it, you are going to lose all your money. So when you watch these advertisements on during football games or basketball games, like, they're not saying, you know, you're guaranteed to lose your money. They're saying, this is where the winners bet. You know, this is your chance, you know, to get this huge jackpot, get this $2,000 risk-free bet by signing up. You know, like, it, the whole thing is a con. And it's important to note, commercialized gambling, because it's organized or led by the state governments in our country, they're exempt from truth and advertising regulations under the Federal Trade Commission. They're the only business in America that's exempt from these rules.
I am glad you brought this up, because I would be curious to hear from you about ideas on ad regulation or rules on commercials that may be similar to alcohol and tobacco that we've seen in the not so recent past. Les?
Yeah, at a bare minimum, the requirement should be for any state is to have the same restrictions on commercialized gambling advertising that we do for tobacco. You know, many of your listeners will know that in 2013, the American Psychological Association released its DSM-5, which is like this manual for, you know, public health, and insurance companies use it to dictate, you know, coverages and that type of stuff. They labeled gambling addiction an addiction like being addicted to cocaine, heroin, opioids. Okay, we don't promote those relentlessly on television. Like, those are, you know, this idea that we're promoting a highly addictive product like this, exempt from truth and advertising regulations. The only reason why it happens is because the states are using this as a revenue source. You know, it's the ultimate budget gimmick. And it's time that Wisconsin and other states, you know, we start relying on real taxation, not budget gimmicks that hurt the American people like predatory gambling does.
Let's return to your calls now at 1-800-642-1234, where Karen in Jefferson is standing by. Karen, good afternoon. You're on the air with Les Burnell.
Well, hello, gentlemen. I'm calling to ask, Wisconsin is a community property state. Is the wife liable for the husband's secret sports gambling debts?
Interesting question. Les, would you know the answer to that?
Well, I'll say I don't know exactly how Wisconsin defines community property, but I do know, let's say we have, you know, if I have a, you know, my wife and I share the credit card together, and I go out and I drop, you know, have $10,000 or $20,000 of credit card debt, you know, that I've lost on, you know, online gambling casinos sponsored by Wisconsin or any other state, like, I'm still liable for that debt. My wife's liable for that, those expenses. If I have a home and I take a home equity line of credit to pay off my debts to the local casino, like, she owes that money. Like, you know, so that's money that's on our total debt. So when we say community property, I have to say, I don't know exactly how Wisconsin defines that, but in every other state, you know, you have many people who have been foreclosed on or have liens on their homes because of commercialized gambling debt. You know, that essentially state governments have endorsed, allowed it to happen.
Let's go to Rick in Belleville this afternoon. Rick, you are on the air with Les Burnell, the national director from Stop Predatory Gambling.
Hey, Les. In reference to that other question that the previous caller to the young lady that was just on, if you could explain how this works and why, if you continue to gamble at these places, you will always lose your money. For example, if I bet a friend $10 on, say, a Packers game or a Brewers game, and one of us loses, that $20 or that $10 still is maintained. What happens in any kind of organized gambling, there's a percentage of that money, probably around 4 or 5%, that's taken off the top by law. And so, in other words, that money then is being diluted or being removed by the owners of the gambling operation, and therefore it's guaranteed that if you continue to wager, you will always lose because of that guaranteed percentage that they can take off of every dollar that's gambled. I think if people understood that, it'd probably be helpful.
You explained it perfectly. You really did well. And I think it's important, carrying on to that distinction, because some of your listeners may be like, well, you know, because the gambling operators will say, it's like the stock market. The stock market's gambling. And I will say, the point I'll concede on that is, if you're a day trader or you're buying derivatives, yes, that's gambling. But if you're buying a stock, if you're putting money into a Standard & Poor's 500 index fund, and you keep it there for 20 or 30 years, like, you know, you put $1,000 into that or $6,000 into a Roth IRA annually, like, that money's going to grow over 20 or 30 years.
Les,
you take that $1,000 and put it onto a, you know, into sports bets or $30 scratch tickets or your slot machines, like, you're going to lose everything. You know, there's a difference between investing and speculation, you know, and that's, I think that's an important distinction. I think the gentleman really explained it very well. So thank you for that.
Finally, Les, this afternoon, if I or someone I know is struggling with gambling addiction, what kind of resources are available to help?
Sadly, there's not a lot of great resources in Wisconsin and elsewhere for people who are suffering from addiction, but there is a problem gambling council in Wisconsin that, you know, has a 1-800 number there. It's called the Wisconsin Problem Gambling Council. There's a number called 1-800-GAMBLER. I mean, I don't usually, you know, the problem is most of the, from a public health perspective, the gambling industry funds almost all of the research as well as the treatment in our country on this issue. So that's part of the deal, that the business model in commercialized gambling, 50% of the gambling profits come from people who are addicted to gambling. So that's part of that's a whole nother show for you. But this idea of, you know, we got to separate these problem gambling councils from gambling funding, including in Wisconsin. But in the short term, that's your solution, is to call the Wisconsin Problem Gambling Council.
It's 1-800-GAMBLING. Les, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's Les Burnell. He is the national director of the nonprofit group Stop Predatory Gambling. And you can continue this conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can email us ideas@wpr.org, because we've been talking about the growth of sports betting and its impact on our economy and our lives. And we'll be seeing it if we have our TV on at any point on Sunday for the big game.